The Enigma Variations by Elgar, portraits of his close friends, and at the end of himself, we heard the Vienna Philharmonic Orchestra conducted by Sir George Schulte.
Happy holiday season from your friends at WHFR Dearborn. And thank you for listening to this beautiful classical programming. We have classical programming at its best, as well as so many other eclectic, interesting, and alternative shows just for you. If you'd like, check out our program schedule. It's listed on our website at WHFR.FM. That's right. That's where you'll go to check out the latest times and dates of our specialty shows, as well as other information about WHFR. Events and programming issues, just go to WHFR.FM. You can also click the Listen Live button and listen from anywhere that you have an internet connection, whether it's on your smartphone, your tablet, or your computer. We want you to know that WHFR is always there for you. Give us a check, WHFR.FM. It's as simple as that. And it is as simple as our family saying happy holiday season to your family. We wish you the best as we transition into 2014.
The following program has been pre-recorded. The views expressed by the participants are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio or Henry Ford Community College. Welcome to We Are Not Alone. We're local investigators, as well as world-renowned scientists and ufologists, share their latest evidence in support of the UFO reality. Hi, I'm David Twitchell, and you're listening to WHFR Dearborn. WHFR.FM is the station making waves, and for the next hour, we'll be exploring the mysteries of the UFO and abduction phenomenon. And our guest today is Mr. James Carman. James lives in New York City and works as a cinematographer and a producer. And he shoots features and commercials and documentaries. And his work has been showcased at the Museum of Modern Arts as well as many film festivals. In fact, he recently won an EBE Award for Best Documentary with his film The Hidden Hand, Alien Contact and the Government Cover-Up. Currently, he's working on a new documentary entitled Super Consciousness. The Hidden Hand is a controversial document that explores the possibilities of an extraterrestrial presence here on Earth. And the film takes a look at a spectrum of topics like alien abduction, human-alien hybridization, military reverse engineering of alien technology, and the government cover-up of anything related to extraterrestrials. So let's welcome Mr. James Carman to the show. Hello, James.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, and yourself?
I'm doing great.
Good, good. It's good to have you on the show. You know, you sent me a review copy of Hidden Hand, and we'll get into that in a minute. But first, tell me, what originally stirred your interest in the UFO phenomena?
Well, I was living in Europe a long time, and I came back to the States, and it was never really on my radar. I guess it was. I'd read Communion, and that I found that to be kind of a frightening book. And also, I didn't think that he made it up, you know, Whitley.
No.
And
no.
So that was, I guess, always in the back of my mind. And I read that in the 90s. And then I came back and I had a job, and I was producing healing DVDs. And during the breaks, there would be women who would kind of be crying or huddled together, and they would talk about being abducted and having children taken from them, or let's say when they were pregnant, their pregnancies would be taken, and they talked about having hybrid children, and for me, that was just very hard to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so hard that I just kind of put it out of my mind, and I didn't really think about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started meeting people that said they were like psychics that had been trained by the secret government, and so after a while I said, well, why don't I just start putting some of this together, because it would make a great documentary, be interesting. And so that was my initial impetus.
Right. When you say secret government, what do you mean secret government?
Well, I guess more like
the government behind the government?
Yes. You know, the more what we would call the rogue groups, or, you know,
black outfits, you know?
Yeah.
Black ops, yeah. So, what did you find out about the black ops, if anything?
Well, it's a very secretive world, but it seems like there is, you know, there are black ops. They're called SAP, Special Access Projects, or Unacknowledged Special Access Projects.
Right.
And a lot of money goes to them. A lot of money is diverted down. And, some of them have to do with ET, some of them have to do with actual aliens or reverse engineering of ET technology.
Right. Right. Along with back engineering of crash disks?
Yes.
Have you discovered any evidence of that in your documentation?
No, I mean, I haven't discovered any evidence. I mean, only what people have said that I think are, you know, credible.
Yeah.
People, I think Colonel Corso, and he said that was his job,
right,
in the Pentagon to do that. And then, Dr. Edgar Mitchell, you know, he was the sixth astronaut on the moon. He grew up in Roswell, and when he came back, the old timers came to him and they said, "We want to tell you our story before we die." And they said that there was a crash at Roswell, that they had been threatened by authority not to speak, and some of them said that there were actual bodies that had been found.
Right.
And then he went and had this corroborated at the Pentagon.
Yeah. Yeah, we had, I had the honor of having Dr. Mitchell on this show a while back here, and he told us that story, and the fact that it was corroborated by the Pentagon. And then the guy from the Pentagon goes away and comes back and said, "Oop, I can't tell you about it," after he just told him about it.
Right.
He went out and found out, you know, keep your mouth shut. So came back and said, "I can't tell you about it," really. So the Hidden Hand, now, was that the black ops or what? Who is the Hidden Hand?
No, the Hidden Hand is more kind of the approach of secrecy that's pervasive in our society nowadays. I mean, it seems like there's a whole lot of financial information we're not privy to, and there's a whole lot of leeway that's given these institutions, no matter how much fraud or malfeasance they practice. You know, no one gets sent to jail. And then, of course, then you have like the hidden hand of the ETs. The ETs also are not bringing forth any information, not being upfront at all. They're, you know, most of the time they have any kind of interaction, they wipe memories, and so they make it everything very hard to understand.
Right.
And the same thing is also with the what I would call the secret government. You know, everything is secret, everything's under lock and key, everything's compartmentalized, and so it's not possible to live in a republic democratic system that we originally had set up.
Right, right. Well, you know, you can understand where they have to keep a certain amount of secrets because from even Americans, because they don't want the enemy to find out about it.
Well, and, who's the enemy?
Well, there's a lot of, I'm afraid we have a lot of them now today. But not secrets about E.T., but secrets about military, troop movement, that type of thing. Yeah, they've got to keep that secret. I understand that. I get that. I even understand back in 47 why they wanted to keep the crash disk at Roswell secret until they had a handle on it. But they still don't, and they never will, do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I think that they have a lot more of a handle on it than they used to.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like they have a lot more technology than they used to. I mean, Ben Rich, who was the leader of Lockheed Skunk Works for 20 years, says he said before he died, you know, we can take E.T. home now.
Right.
And he says, and we've got most of it from unfunded opportunities. And someone asked, well, what does that mean? And he went to the board and he circled the chalkboard and he circled U and the F and the O from unfunded opportunities, and he said that's where we got most of it. So I think we have a lot of technology now that compared to what we had 60 years ago.
Yeah.
And 70 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's become its own secret government. It's its own, almost you could say, a breakaway civilization,
right?
Because the technology is so much higher than what we have here. In its uses, different propulsion, different physics. I don't think there's any way you can compare the two.
Okay, so in interviewing, now you had a lot of big names in ufology. Mm-hmm. That you interviewed in the book, or in the book, in the film, Hidden Hand.
Uh-huh.
And in doing so, did you find these people credible? Did you find them intelligent?
Oh, yes. Yes. I mean, Paula Harris helped me out a lot. I loved her. Dr. Roger Lear, Richard Dolan is great, Linda Moulton Howe. I mean, every one of the researchers, I didn't find anyone that I didn't think was not credible.
Mm.
And, you know, also of the experiencers and abductees, you know, I think they're all credible. Some of them are a little bit more, what I would call, show symptoms of a post-traumatic stress.
Are we talking about the abductees now?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand that they did a blind test on, took like 6 abductees and 6 people who did not claim to be abducted, and had them psychologically tested, and they found that all of them were perfectly sane, all of the subjects were perfectly sane, but certain ones showed signs of symptoms of post-traumatic stress syndrome. And each and every one of those were the abductees.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a person can take from that what they wish. But to me, all it says is something has happened in their life that was quite traumatic. And you mentioned earlier that E.T. wipes their memory. Well, in most cases they do, but there is a small percentage on where they are completely cognizant of what's going on during their abduction. Isn't that true? Have you ever met any of those?
Yes. I mean, Jim Sparks, who I interviewed, was totally cognizant of what happened to him when he was abducted.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, like, the first 6 years was horrific. And it was like a living nightmare. And, you know, he was with abductees who didn't remember and were kind of moved around more or less like drugged cattle.
Right.
And he said then after 6 years that he started understanding E.T. better and what they wanted, what they needed from him. And so that they started giving him a little bit more free rein. And it was still, he was still abducted and still taken against his desires.
Yeah.
But it was still then becoming a lot more pleasant, and it was something that he could tolerate.
Okay. Well, I guess that's the difference between being an abductee and an experiencer, right?
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Well, an experiencer, usually they don't say black or white, it's good or bad. It's just like, it's unknown. It's hard to fathom. It's the other. It's not like... it's not like someone's there that's going to kill you or wants to kill you. It's like someone has a totally different agenda and you can't understand what it is.
Right, right, right. Well, can you imagine going out into the jungle and anesthetizing a tiger? They don't understand what's going on.
No.
You know? And implanting them with a chip so we can keep track of them and what have you, and coming back again, all they see is this big bird with a helicopter. They think it's a bird, I'm sure.
Uh-huh.
And that's the last thing that they remember.
Right.
And then maybe they wake up and watch it going away. And isn't it horrific to think that, you know, we're the animals in the jungle as far as E.T. is concerned, you know?
Well, I think it is. I mean, in some ways, I think they think we wouldn't really understand what they're up to.
Right.
Or maybe they don't give us a chance. But on the other hand, I think it kind of reflects of, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I mean, if you create that space, that karmic space where you're brutalizing animals and people...
Right.
Then you leave it yourself open to be brutalized.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. So, in the film, The Hidden Hand, you mentioned Blue Book, Project Blue Book. Mm-hmm. Have you read Project Blue Book or discussed it with anyone?
Yeah. I mean, I read parts of it years ago. It's not that interesting reading, but there are some interesting cases in there.
Mm-hmm.
But... you know, talking about sightings and stuff, but I think those aren't the most interesting cases. They had more interesting cases in Project Grudge and Project Sign.
Yeah. So did you find anything within the covers of Project Blue Book to indicate that it was not the objective report that it was purported to be?
Well, you know, they would say, okay, it was Venus or swamp gas, even though it was in the desert. the sighting, and you know, there's only so many times it can be Venus or the reflection off of an airplane. I mean, I think there were some that were not adequately described.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, Venus does not move around in your backyard, you know?
No.
And it's not the size of a 2 football fields, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but... they've got to assign an explanation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
and if they have an explanation, then it's done. The case is done with, and they move on to the next. And so I think there were just a few cases that weren't explained.
Right. Well, I believe that there was like 22% that were really unexplained,
mm-hmm.
According to Stanton Friedman.
So, okay.
So... okay, so in the film, you mentioned that Steven Spielberg received a stern 25-page letter from the government urging him not to release Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Right.
Can you elaborate on that?
It was from NASA.
Oh.
And And it was when he had asked for information or research or corroboration. And that was an interview that he did to a film magazine. It'd be like Film Comment today or Filmmaker Magazine. I don't think it exists in that iteration anymore.
What do you mean doesn't exist?
Well, that magazine isn't.
It
doesn't exist anymore. It's not around anymore. It folded.
So we can't check on that, can we?
No, I think we can check on it. I mean, you can probably get that back cover somewhere. That would actually be a good project to see if you could get a copy of that.
All right. And we can also ask Steven Spielberg. So, Steven, if you're listening, contact me. I want to talk to you. You know what I'm saying? So were you able to talk to Steven Spielberg?
No, I talked to his agent, though.
Oh, really? And this is what he told you?
I researched out that's where that quote came from. But he was very nice, and he just said that, you know, Steven's too busy, and he doesn't have time for kind of these passing interests of other people.
He's a very
busy man.
I can certainly appreciate that, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting on with his next film. So, I need to take a moment here just to remind our listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the only station making waves here in Dearborn, Michigan, out of Henry Ford Community College. And you're listening to We Are Not Alone. I'm David Twitchell, and we're speaking with filmmaker Mr. James Carman. And we're talking about his film, A Hidden Hand. So let's get back to The Hidden Hand here. Tell us a little more about the film, James.
Well, I wanted the film to be almost like a primer on the subject of UFOs and ETs, and that's a very tall order because it's not easy to do. It's a phenomenon that's very complex and has a lot of different facets to it. But I basically take people by the hand and say, okay, this is real, and then these are the complications. This is what happens during most abductions. This is what happens in terms of military involvement. And I don't ever go and say that this is the truth this way 100%. I'm saying this is what people are saying. This is what's purported. And then I let people talk, and they speak for themselves as to what's going on. And then I go into the different kinds of ETs that are there, or the major ones, and then what implants are, what happens with that, and the whole sexual experimentation that takes place with abduction. And then I go into how it runs in generations. It's generational. If, you know, if your mother or your grandmother was abducted, chances are that you will be abducted.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go into the MyLab situation, which is that, you know, it seems like there's parts of the factions of the secret government that are re-abducting abductees after they've been abducted to find out more information. It's kind of like a debriefing. And then I go into hybridization, that, you know, eggs and sperm are taken from abductees, and it seems like there's some kind of hybridization program going on, kind of between a mix between humans and them. And people say that they've had contact with these hybrid children, you know, over a span of 30, 40 years. So, and they find it very traumatizing and hard, and it's emotionally hard to deal with because it's your child, you love it, but at the same time, perhaps there's a repulsion.
Right. And,
So it's very complex. And then I go into exopolitics, which is basically forming some kind of government structure or apparatus to formally have relations with different ET groups. And just that idea, which is really taken off in the last decade. And then at the end, I talk about galactic consciousness, basically raising our consciousness and how we perhaps might evolve going out into space and interacting with these beings.
Right. So do you think there'll ever be some kind of world government, you know, human, alien, getting together and forming a government? Is that what exopolitics is?
No, exopolitics is basically saying that there is a political institution, a formalized political institution for having interaction with ET. So it would be kind of almost like an ambassadorial
ambassadorship
function, and it would also protect the rights of ETs, just as like humans have rights here. Mm. They would also have inalienable rights if they were visiting us, unless, of course, they were behaving in a criminal fashion.
Right, right. What was this silly movie where the aliens had landed and they put them in some kind of concentration camp and they were rioting there like...
District 9.
That's it. Boy, I don't know what your opinion of that was. But I'll tell you what, I was 20 minutes in and I turned it off. Mm-hmm. It was, I don't know, didn't like it.
Well, I liked it until it got, because, I mean, it was interesting, it worked on some levels, like it was obviously talking about apartheid somewhat, right? It was in South Africa,
right.
Everyone was in these internment camps, and it was done as in a kind of a real documentary style, so it could have been a documentary, which I found interesting. And then it got overboard into kind of like a lot of chase scenes and a lot of shootouts and all that kind of stuff. And I didn't, after that point, I didn't relate to it so much. But the setup I liked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I find that you can't have a alien movie without the aliens attacking us, and we have to fight for our lives. And, you know, I believe E.T. is visiting us. You know, what can I say? I'm a witness. But the thing is, I guess the truth is kind of boring, isn't it? they're visiting us. They're abducting us. They're checking on us. They're probably some are protecting us. And, you know, there's really no war of the world, so... That wouldn't make for a good movie, right?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, you know, I don't think we need a war of the worlds. I mean, I personally think we have too much war, too much violence.
Mm.
And in the ET phenomenon is interesting enough as it is.
I mean, right.
The whole abduction contact, that's pretty amazing. In it's people haven't even plumbed its depth. Can you imagine if you have a group or groups of ETs here abducting people, like in the tens of thousands over decades, and you have equipment that's just for that purpose, and you have supply just for that purpose, and you have all this crew, all these beings just for that purpose, for them, it's enormously important.
All right.
And so just that kind of import on the whole thing from their side is pretty amazing, and it's so important that they have to wipe all of our memories so we don't have any idea what they're up to.
Right.
I mean, that's very interesting. And then, of course, you from our side, you would have, well, how are we going to counter this? What should we do? Is this a nation that is disruptive to us? Is this a nation that's going to attack us? Do they want to insert these hybrids into our world and take over, or is this just something else? But I mean, there you were right, is that there is a purpose for the national security state, and I don't think that's gone away, but I think that we could have open disclosure, and I think that we could take it. It's not like, oh, we're all going to just run out on the streets and start screaming and not be able to take it. It's more like, if you do have disclosure to that extent, and that's because it seems like we're having some kind of disclosure now, that there's a lot of problems that come up, and then who is responsible for, you know, developing all this technology? Why wasn't it allowed to be used openly? What happened to all the money? what about all the people whose rights were neglected and were abducted? And then you have a lot of really questions about criminality and who's responsible, so, you know, heads could roll.
You mean responsible for the cover-up?
Not only the cover-up, you know, it could be that they were in on part of it. I mean, some people say that there was a technology transfer, like a treaty of sorts, giving them permission to abduct human citizens so that they could have technology,
right.
Access to technology. I mean, and we don't know. I mean, that's conjecture. But the more disclosure that comes out, then the more we might be able to know.
That's right. That's right. There are many things I'm sure that they can't tell us, that they know that they can't tell us, and probably for our own good, but just enough to let us know that, you know, let the witnesses, people like myself who have witnessed UFOs up close and personal, not just I saw a light in the sky, but up close and personal, that they're not lying, they're not crazy. They're seeing what they're seeing. It's greater reality. There is a greater reality than we are admitting to. And, you know, of course, the questions are just going to start rolling after that. The press won't leave them alone. The public won't leave them alone. They're going to demand something be done about it. Well, what can we do? What could we do?
Well, you know, we could do something. If you have to be informed before you can do anything.
Yeah.
You know, if you make a concerted effort, I'm sure there's things that could be deliberated. But if you are totally in the dark and everything is about this subject is taboo and ridiculed, then of course there's nothing you can do.
Right. Well, of course, the powers that be, whether they're the elected powers or the black ops, they feel that, you know, I'm in control here. I've got this one. Let me find out what's going on, and you citizens stand back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the citizens should have a working knowledge of what's going on, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If that's possible. I mean... Mm-hmm. I am sure that this, what really is going on, and what the technologies that they have, the intelligence that these beings have, we humans could never wrap our brains around them.
Mm-hmm.
They say we only use 10% of our brain power. Sometimes I wonder if that's overstating, but you know what I'm saying?
Right, but the thing is, it's like if you want to use 20% of your brain power, then if you know that there are species like that out there that are so advanced and have these capabilities, that gives you impetus to learn and to evolve.
Right.
So I think we need to evolve now. I mean, if you look at the state of the world, it's we could use a lot of evolving, especially in terms of consciousness, not necessarily in terms of technology, but like, you know, how we act.
Right. And which brings us to your super consciousness. You're working on that video, right?
Yeah, today I was actually in the studio. I was shooting the poster for it.
Tell us about that.
That was fun. You know, I was shooting with a young Russian model who's also a yoga teacher, who's also very smart, you know, has a master's, and she just embodies kind of like a very vibrant conscious energy. Mm. And so I did a photo shoot with her with green screen, and then I did with kind of sparklers coming out of her fingers and behind her head, like, you know, sparkles of light.
Hmm.
And it was fun. I think it was successful.
Yeah. So what is super consciousness? What is this? Is it a documentary?
Yeah, it's a documentary.
And what does it entail?
Well, it's, you know, has to do with people have special gifts and abilities, and acknowledging that and shooting that and showing that, so people can say, hey, you know, maybe we aren't just all, you know, run-of-the-mill masses who only use 10% of our brain. Maybe there are other people doing a lot more. And if you see that people are doing a lot more, that again, that it's a call to action, an impetus that, wow, I have this potential. I can do this too.
Yeah. It sounds very interesting. Very interesting. Do you cover in this film? Do you cover child prodigies?
I'd like to. I mean, I haven't. I've been interviewing kind of wisdom teachers mostly so far, and
so I
just finished The Hidden Hand, and then I've been just distributing. I'm promoting it. So whenever I have a possibility to shoot, then I do.
Right.
But you know, it hasn't gone into full blown production yet.
Right. Well, then I will give you a suggestion, sir, if you will
okay.
don't mind.
Certainly.
Find out about child prodigies, like Jackie Ivanko. Oh my God! If you're that little kid that can sing like a 30-year-old opera star, you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Jackie Ivanko. She was on America's Got Talent.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh my God! You would not believe, if you just heard her voice, that it was an 11-year-old child singing this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, singing opera. Of course, I guess she's 14 now, but she was just great. Anyway, that I often wonder if these are reincarnated souls that, you know, could play the piano before, could pick up an instrument, because they just pick up an instrument and start playing or singing, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so that might be a consideration, huh?
I go to work in Times Square, and often there's a young Chinese pianist. He's like 8 years old, and he's playing perfectly, you know, very advanced pieces of classical music, and people are just standing around dumbfounded,
right?
Because you know he's so amazing, and then it's exactly what I'm talking about. If you see that, then that also says, "Wow, how great is that?" You know, that's what we need. Is we need inspiration. We need able to think, "Oh, we can do more." That we don't have to stay making the same mistakes that we've been making, and you know, we can change.
Right. Yeah, I'd pursue that line a little bit, at least. Check out Jackie Ivanko, too.
I will. And I made a film once on autistic children. It was basically about autism, but I did film some musical and artistic prodigies at that point. And, yeah, there, of course, you know, there's a man, he's British, where he flies over London a half an hour, and then he can paint every window on every building exactly as he had seen it, and he didn't need a photograph. He had a photographic memory.
Yeah, that's amazing too.
Yeah.
So that's what super consciousness is about, huh?
Yeah.
Right, we'll look for that then too. So back to this, there was a segment in Hidden Hand about the Vatican addressing otherworldly visitations. Do you think that there's an official disclosure by them in the offing?
Well, I think they're doing it bit by bit, like most everyone else. I mean, they have said that in the Observatorio Romano, which is a Vatican newspaper, that ETs could be our brothers. And, you know, they've also stated that, you know, that ETs would also be able to have salvation under the aegis of Jesus, just as we have. And so it seems like they are hedging their bets a little bit. They've got one of the most advanced observatories in the world in Hopi Land in Arizona. And they've had that for quite a while now, and you have to wonder, well, what does the Vatican need, like, the most advanced observatory in the world for? What are they doing there? And so I find that all fascinating.
Yes, indeed. Well, number one, they can afford it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Well,
I mean, let's call a spade, right?
Right.
They got the money for it. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it's what they're coming out with now, the admissions that, yeah, we're being visited. There has to be beings on other worlds. We're finding Earth-like planets all the time.
Yeah.
We never acknowledged the fact that, or the possibility that other planets could have water, because science told us where there's water, there is life.
Uh-huh.
So there couldn't be water on any other planet other than ours. We were so unique. Now they're finding water on Mars, they're finding water on the moon, they're finding water on all these Earth-like planets and atmospheres.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to admit, oh yeah, there has to be life there. Now, whether or not they're intelligent enough to come here, that's just not using their smarts, because we're a young planet, a young solar system. Science acknowledges that.
Mm-hmm.
in the scheme of the cosmos, right?
Mm-hmm.
So these other planets have to be older and thus more advanced if there is an intelligent life form on them. Wouldn't you
say? Not necessarily more advanced. It could be older. I mean, if you think about the history of civilization here, there's many that claim that Atlantis was a civilization, Mu was a civilization, that actually there's been quite advanced life here, and that either because of catastrophe or meteors or self-destruction, that life was terminated, and it took a while to slowly build itself back.
Right.
And, if you think about based in the weather in terms of meteorites and planets, rogue planets, I mean, it's not, you know, the whole life is very, very fragile. I'm sure it's all over the galaxy, all over the universe, but, you know, if you move the sun a little bit, if you move the Earth a little bit further from the sun or a little closer to the sun, then, you know, everything here would die, or most everything would die. It's a very fragile process.
All right. So, I need to take one more break just to remind our listeners that you are listening to WHFR.FM, making waves out of Dearborn, Michigan, Henry Ford Community College. And I am David Twitchell. You're listening to We Are Not Alone, and we're speaking with Mr. James Cameron. He's the cinematographer and documentary maker of Hidden Hand, The Hidden Hand, Alien Contact and the Government Cover-Up. So, James, going back to the Men in Black, who are the Men in Black from what you've learned, and why do they intimidate witnesses?
I'm not sure. I mean, you hear a lot of different things. You hear some people say that they're kind of hybrids, like alien-human hybrids with connections to the Pentagon, and they show up in black suits and black hats. And then I just talked to Lynn Buchanan recently, and he was saying that he was in the Pentagon, and he was actually debriefed by these Men in Black, and that there was one that was smarter, that was in the know, and there was another one that didn't know but asked the questions, and the other one was there just to kind of control the situation. And he said that whatever he said shocked the two of them, or the one that was in the know. And he said that they were regular humans. They weren't E.T., but they dressed in black, and they had this kind of strange attitude and strange attire. I don't know. That's something I didn't address, because I didn't run into it that much when I was making the film, and it seems like I've also heard quite a few different kind of scenarios, so I couldn't say that there was only one, or this is the way it is.
Right. Well, of course, Hollywood isn't helping much with their movies about the Men in Black and their silly characterization of them. But that's all right. It you know, total escapism. So there's also rumors about. Well, we know that there's underground bases all over the country, all over the world, actually. But there's rumors about E.T. being involved in these underground bases, working with our government and other governments. While you were interviewing some of these people for the film, did anyone mention these underground bases?
Yes. I was just talking to an old Russian Navy officer not too long ago, and he said he was on a ship, and they would be on the ship like forever. And he said that while they were on the water, they were tracking something that was going 300 knots underwater. And so he was thinking that it was a UFO, and that, you know, there are UFOs that go in the waters, that, and it seems like there are bases, like, in water. There, sometimes they go into lakes. They don't seem to have a problem going in water. For them, it's like air. It's kind of repulsed by their field propulsion technology. And so I've for sure there's probably ET bases. And I've heard that there is some kind of collaboration on some of them, with E.T., more with the Greys and the Reptilians. And you hear that quite often, actually, with people who have hybrid children.
The Reptilians, now, I was led to believe, at any rate, or I understand, are the bad guys. As far as E.T. is concerned. Is that right, or is it the Greys?
Well, again, you know, I think if you, it's not easy just to say the bad guys, because, like, there are different kinds of reptilians, and there's different kinds of Greys, and, you know, although maybe what they're doing is at odds with us, I mean, it's kind of like saying, okay, can you just say that, you know, the Iraqis are the bad guys, or, you know, the Europeans, or the Russians, you know, if you kind of, everyone is acting in their own self-interest in a way. So I think it makes more sense to look at it in terms of that. And if they are disabusing our rights and our sovereignty, then, you know, there's something that we need to undertake to put a stop to that.
Right. But once again, how are we interfering with the sovereignty of the animals in the jungle when we go in and abduct them or tag them? Am I right? Do we even care?
Well, a lot of times we do that because we care. But, I mean, you know, if you've been to Africa recently, it's pretty horrific what's going on there. People are flying around in... Military is flying around in helicopters, some of it provided by the U.S., with, you know, very advanced rifles, and just murdering elephants. Thousands of elephants are killed every year just for their tusk, which is grotesque. And I mean, I don't know if you've been around elephants very much, but they're so majestic. They're such wonderful creatures, and to think that we would just kill them with such barbarity is a shame.
All right. Well, I don't think that, although I did have a guest on here, Butch Witkowski, not long ago, that we talked about human mutilations and how they mirrored cattle mutilations. But for the most part, I don't think E.T. Wants to go around killing us. Because if that were the case, I don't think we would be having this conversation, all right?
There definitely have been human mutilations.
Yeah.
And cattle mutilations are still happening.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, but it doesn't look like they're here to butcher us.
No.
Put it that way.
No, I don't believe so. I do think that they are, or there is a faction of them that are here to help us, to what extent they can, mm-hmm. but or help us help ourselves, give us the knowledge that, you know, the kids have found the matches and knock it off, you're going to burn the house down, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Basically.
Well, I mean, there is that aspect. I mean, in terms of, like, you know, it seems like UFO really started coming to prominence when we developed the atomic bomb.
Right.
And we see them often over nuclear military bases or nuclear energy plants. And by all intents, it looks as if they're wanting us not to bring this out into space.
All right. Or probably not to destroy ourselves. I think nuclear war, all-out nuclear war, would affect outer space, don't you?
Well, I think it does. I think we don't really understand it completely, because I think it's not only affects this dimension, it rips holes through the dimensions that are connected to this, the end dimensions, like they talk about in string physics, and that by their mathematical models, there has to be like 11 dimensions here altogether. And so I think it affects more than we know.
Right. One atom splits the other and then splits the other. You know, I had heard, and I'm sure this is true, that when they tested the atomic bomb, before they tested it, they said, well, if one atom splits the next atom and ad infinitum, wouldn't it keep going on and just encompass the Earth and, you know, destroy the whole Earth? And one scientist said, yeah, that might well be. Oh, well, let's try it anyway.
Yeah.
And when they saw the mushroom cloud come out, they said, oh, my God, it looks like that's what it's doing. But it didn't, so... Now, that's what I say with humans. You know, if we can do it, we will do it. We'll try it anyway. So, scary, isn't it?
It's very scary.
Yeah. And there were, according to the film Hidden Hand, there are former CIA agents are coming forward. You spoke with them?
I didn't speak. I spoke to people that, like John Lear. He's a famous pilot. He has, like, licenses to fly, like, 101 different kind of aircraft.
Yeah, of Lear.
Father of Lear, you know, was the one who created Lear.
All right.
Jets. And, I've talked to him, and, I mean, definitely people are involved in military intelligence, but not so much many people that I knew that were involved in the CIA.
Oh, okay. Because I seem to remember something mentioned about CIA, former CIA.
Oh, yes, that was right. That was a man who's already passed on. Let me see, what was his name?
But he was a former CIA agent, right?
Well, he was an operative. And so he was basically there to do dirty jobs, more or less. He was a contract worker for them. So I don't think he was actually there in Virginia, but when something needed to be taken care of, he was one of the people they asked.
When something needed to be taken care of. What does that mean?
Well, I mean,
somebody needed to be rubbed out?
About, being, you know, a part of the JFK assassination.
Oh.
You know, not in terms of he personally attacking them, but, you know, in terms of enabling arms and stuff like that.
Right. That's
his name was Gordon Novell.
Okay. Yeah, that's another topic. We don't get into that, but here on this show, right. I could go on forever about that one.
Right. Which is something I tend to be skeptical of, that he said that, because, you know, at that time he was so young, but you know, you don't always know.
You don't know.
Yeah.
So do you think there'll be official disclosure, or do you think that they just want us to put the pieces together ourselves?
I think there won't be any official disclosure from their side. I mean, there is a kind of disclosure that's happening, and I think it is placating people, you know, in terms of like Britain and France and Canada and Denmark and New Zealand and Argentina and Brazil, Mexico. All of them are coming forth with some kind of official documents that this is a phenomenon, and it is of concern, and it is a national security concern. And it's also a concern what the United States is doing and how they're continue to not be open about the subject.
Right.
And there is some kind of disclosure going on, but I don't think the powers that be are going to disclose it unless they have to. But it could very well be that they will have to at some point.
You think so?
Well, it's just when you think about where our society is heading. I mean, the whole idea of the singularity is when artificial intelligence becomes more intelligent than humans.
Mm-hmm.
And then if that were the case, then, you know, if they're building and constructing more artificial intelligence very quickly, they would be, you know, have an IQ of 500. They would never sleep. They mm-hmm. would be connected to, you know, all the data banks around the world and could very easily piece things together. And, you know, the way we're developing in terms of interacting with technology and interacting with technology that's implanted in us and also being able to change our own genetics and do genetic modification, you know, if that web, that connection is connecting all of us, then pretty soon it would all be very self-evident, and that would be disclosure too.
Yeah, you'd mentioned the hybridization. I read an article once where the guy, first he told us how aliens don't exist, the ET is not visiting us, on and on and on. And then he talked about hybridization, alien-human hybridization, and he said, you know, how impossible that would be because alien DNA is so much different than our DNA. So first he tells us how they don't exist, and then he tells us all about their DNA.
Right.
So I take it another way. It's impossible unless alien DNA is compatible with our DNA.
According to the literature, most people who have hybrid babies are very sickly and very ill.
Right.
And a lot of them die, and they're not successful.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but it's important enough for them to keep trying.
Right. You're talking about the alien babies.
Yeah.
Aboard ship or wherever they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Interesting. So do you think there is a hybridization process going on?
Well, it seems there is one going on. There's so many people who talk about it. And the thing is it's not anything new. If you know anything about the history of shamanism, this is something that's been going on since humanity's been around. Shamans have always had access to the upper worlds and the lower worlds, and they've had their familiars, they've had their spirit lovers that would take them. A lot of times they would have surgery or process done on them that was very painful and very unpleasant, and they would have their own spirit children that would stay only in those realms, and then they would be, you know, brought back to the earthly plane.
So the shamans allegedly were in contact with ET as well.
Well, you know,
or is it other dimensions?
Like, it seems like it's a difference of vernacular. If you talk about, you know, the spirits of the upper world and the negative, you know, the negative spirits, the more positive ones in terms of shamanism, and then you talk about the world of Islam and the whole idea of jinns,
right?
And you know, or you talk about the ideas of fairies or elves or the wee folk, and if you go into the fairy circle, then you disappear.
Mm.
And if you eat any of their food, then you can't come back into this realm, or it'll be 100 years later. I mean, stuff like that's been actually documented.
Hmm.
And so it seems like there is some kind of phenomenon that's been going on that's related, and it's just called different things and described different ways.
Right. Okay, James Cartman, where can people go, where can our listeners go to find out more about your film, The Hidden Hand?
Well, you can go to the film's website, which is called HiddenHandTheMovie.com. That's HiddenHandTheMovie.com. And if you want to look at the film, you know, it shows you all the links of all the places you could buy it. And otherwise, the descriptions, there's ways for you to interact. You can interact on Twitter at hashtag TheHiddenHand. And on Facebook, it's HiddenHandTheMovie.com. I'd love to hear from all of you and love to continue the interaction.
That sounds great, and I hope our listeners will go to HiddenHandTheMovie.com and check it out, because I watched it, and it is very interesting, to say the least. So, Mr. James Cartman, I want to thank you so much for joining us. I'm afraid we're out of time.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure being on your show.
Thank you. A pleasure having you. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
And if our listeners have any questions or comments for me, you can email me at dtwitchell@hotmail.com. This show, as well as all the forum shows, is now archived at whfr.fm's website. Click on Talk Shows on the homepage, then Tuesday Forum, and then, of course, the date of the show. We Are Not Alone is also archived at my website, which is ufoimplications.com. That's ufoimplications.com. So please stay tuned to whfr.fm, the station making waves for the best in alternative programming. I want to thank you for joining us today. Please join us again the first Tuesday of each month at 1 p.m. when we will again explore the mysteries of the UFO phenomenon. Until then, this is David Twitchell reminding you to keep an eye on the sky.
WHFR, Dearborn.